Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
This is the Cape Drive Time. Welcome back to the show. 072-238-0712 is our WhatsApp line. And all I can assure you, it's been one hell of a day. We started off early this morning with the Hawks raiding the Saxon World compound of the Guptas. That was followed up by stories of Guptas being arrested. AJ Gupta, the head brother, as it were, taken in for questioning. Then there were rumors of Duduzani Zuma being taken into custody. That doesn't seem to have happened, although the media spotted him at the Oak Bay headquarters. Then, later today, we had a special press conference with the ANC, Paul Mashatile, Secretary General, and we also had Jackson Mthembu talking about the no-confidence vote that's taking place tomorrow. I do believe that our next guest is online. We're going to be talking to Otilia Mangodzi, Head Special Projects ISS, about the recall of President Jacob Zuma by the ANC, citing Article Section 12 of the ANC Constitution. It certainly put the country into a very interesting space. But online, Otilia, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, number one, what do you make of the constitutionality of what we're dealing right now, the ANC deciding to recall President Jacob Zuma?
Right, so the ANC is well within its means to make a decision to recall the president. However, that decision has little or no effect until essentially something happens. Either the president chooses to resign based on that recall, or the ANC through Parliament then tables a motion of no confidence in him as well as Cabinet, and he is removed from office in that way.
Right, because I think the scenario we might have to deal with is that I watched with great interest President Jacob Zuma's interview. I don't know whether what it was, but his his monologue with the SABC journalist who couldn't ask a question. I'm not going to go into what Jacob Zuma said or didn't say. Body language, very interesting. But it judging from that, it seems as if Jacob Zuma is not going to respond. So it means that he has to go through the parliamentary procedure of a no-confidence vote.
Indeed. From what I think most of the nation watched and heard this afternoon, the president is not inclined to resign. Of course, he says that until he knows exactly why it is he's being asked to resign, there's no basis for him to do so. So, yes, the door that's open now is for a motion of no confidence in the president, or for Parliament to vote to remove the president alone. But it's worth noting that a motion of no confidence in the president, according to the Constitution, also means that members of Cabinet, as well as deputy ministers, must resign.
Yeah, that's a big one, isn't it? And I'm sure there must be some ministers who might be quite nervous about this, because some of them were probably hoping for an extra month or so. Some of them may not survive when Ramaphosa comes into power. So how do we understand this? Is the president incumbent right now bringing the whole house down with him, like the wolf that blew down the house? Or do you think he's got a point?
It's interesting you ask it in that way, because I think the one point that the president made in his, you called it a monologue in his soliloquy, the one point that he made was essentially that these are, it's the same people, right? And that he asked if he must resign, and he understands that they're asking him to resign, that he be given time to resign, that he be given until June to resign so that there can be a smooth transition. And while, of course, the whole nation is waiting to hear what he does and what Parliament does, on that perhaps he may have a point, that if indeed they are transitioning to a new head of state, why so quickly and why now? But on the ANC side, I think the call for expediency was there right from the jump. Already the EFF had tabled, had requested a motion of no confidence that would be heard early next week. And the State of the Nation address had already been postponed. So for the ANC, on their side, they were thinking, this is something that needs to be resolved quickly. Mm-hmm. The question that should be on all of us' minds is, whatever happens, is there a plan? So beyond what happens tomorrow afternoon, is there a plan in place between today and when the elections happen? And has that been thought through?
Okay, Jackson Mthembu in the press conference seemed to be very confident that everything was on a railway track. We don't quite know where it's going to, as you've rightly pointed out, but they certainly say that the train is on the tracks. It's difficult to comment at this stage, isn't it? Because we are still dealing with a lot of unknown factors.
Yes, so the train, at least for the ANC, is on track to find a way to get rid of the president. But if it's a motion of no confidence, like I say, deputy ministers as well as the cabinet must resign, which means that a new executive has to be constituted. And that has to happen quite quickly. And the whether that is part of the plan, so if already people have been touted as the next minister of such and such a portfolio and deputy minister, that much we don't know. And that's the next challenge now. Who will be on these portfolios? Will the same people who would have resigned this week, hypothetically, will they be put back into those positions or not? Bearing in mind that the members of the executive can only be selected from members of parliament, except for two appointments that are at the president's decision outside of parliament.
Yeah, so we're certainly looking at a very interesting scenario. Do you think the time frame that was set up by Mr. Mashatile, Mr. Mthembu, earlier today, that today's D-Day, tomorrow's the no-confidence vote, and they seem to be very confident that the no-confidence vote is going to swing against Zuma. State of the Nation on Friday, and we normally broadcast this, so we're panicking already because we've got to get all our stuff there at the Parliament. And then the debate on Sona on Monday, Tuesday, answer by the President, Wednesday, budget speech. To me, that's a cracking schedule, and maybe too fast for the creaking wheels of Parliament.
It is quite fast, and if they were to pull it off, it would probably be the most efficient handling of so many things at once, and perhaps a lesson for the future. But you don't have to have Sona several week and a half before the budget, for example. But we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see what happens tomorrow and whether or not, for example, the next step, which would be the election of the president within parliament, also happens without a hitch. We already know, for example, that parties like the EFF don't necessarily support Cyril Ramaphosa, but the ANC doesn't need them to elect the new president. They simply need a majority in parliament in order for them to be able to elect the new president. So we'll wait and see. It'll be interesting, less for me, but maybe for you over there, having to run a marathon over a few days, a fast-paced marathon over a few days.
No, absolutely. It certainly is going to be with its unique challenges because you've never faced this kind of situation before. But to get back to Zuma, what struck me profoundly during his soliloquy, as you said, not very Shakespearean, I'm afraid, but his body language, the way he was talking, I've never ever seen him like that before in public, and we've been watching him very closely all these years. It almost looked like he was in a state of shock. I don't know whether this morning took him by surprise, whether he's shocked that the ANC has turned on him, but it was certainly a very unhappy man, understandably so, but lots of concern just in terms of his body language. It was terrible.
Mm-mm. Well, it's difficult to tell, really, you know, what a person is going through, but understandably, with all the developments in the past couple of weeks, you know, one can only imagine that perhaps he feels a little bit betrayed by some of his comrades, and that's starting to show. Or perhaps it was a performance for us all to watch and to see, perhaps that he's not the aggressive man that everyone seems to say he is. But it's very difficult to use a person's body language on a curated interview as a basis to say, well, this shows quite a lot. I'm not a behavioral psychologist, but it's very difficult to be able to conclude.
Yeah, okay. In journalism, I don't know, I've been around for many years, and body language to me is a signal that I will always use in face-to-face interviews. And he was highly animated, which was telling me that he was feeling very passionate about what he was talking. There was passion there, that's for sure. And a certain amount of anger as well in the way that he was talking about things, almost as if he had to control himself on some of the points that he was trying to make. But he's a clever man, so obviously he's not going to blow it that badly. Although some other political commentators were totally gobsmacked by that performance, they actually felt that that situation, if he's asking for dignity, then why didn't he dignify himself?
Sorry, I missed that.
Yeah, I'm just saying that at the end of the day, President Zuma asking for dignity of exit, but yet not enjoying much dignity in the way that he was performing on television.
Again, that's something that I can't really speak to be honest, mm-hmm. Because like I say, you have the experience of being a seasoned journalist who's done a lot of these interviews and can be able to read this body language. That's really not something that I can do, to be honest with you.
Okay, I'll stop. Yeah. I'll stop bashing you into the corner there on that one. let's have a look at other issues. Constitutionally, in a sense, it does seem, as we said originally at the beginning of the interview, that Zuma does have a point. A lot of people are telling me in the streets that they would like to see him go, but they do think that he has a point. Do you think that the ANC could have handled this better? Because I think that's going to become the question now.
I do think that there was a bit of a management problem, and I think the reason that happened was mostly because from the ANC side, they thought that this would be an easy feat. I mean, they had seen it before with Thabo Mbeki choosing to resign and leaving in that way. So in many ways, I think they thought the process would be similar and would not be as tumultuous as it actually turned out to be. And by not being prepared for that, they failed in this regard.
And of course, it is going to be a bit of a crisis, I think, that if it does have to go to a no-confidence vote, to me, it's just going to complicate the matter. I don't think it's in the short term it's going to really solve all the attendant problems. What's your feeling? Do you think that if it's a no-confidence vote, it will go against him? But that's not going to make things easy.
It could go against him because the ANC are resolute.
And I mean, do you think it's going to complicate matters? Because now we, as you say, we have to deal with the cabinet resigning. I mean, that's going to take time to sort of put it all back together again.
Well, not necessarily. They could do it quickly.
Yeah. In fact, as Jackson Mtemba was saying, that they are in a rush to get things done. Final question, Ottilia. I'm sure you'll agree that whatever people may think, that today has most certainly been a very exceptional day, from the raid on Saxonwold this morning to President Jacob Zuma this afternoon and the ANC press conference in the middle of the day.
Yes,